Coming to you now is Lehem Panim with your host, Pastor Cameron Urey, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Hello and welcome to Lehem Panim. In today's message from the book of Acts, we're going to discuss the greatest call that you and I can have on our lives. I remember one of the writings of the late Christian apologist Ravi Zacharias, his asking, "And what is the first call for each one of us? It is to understand God's primary description of who and what we are." And Ravi put it thus. He said, "All the other accolades that people want to thrust at us are secondary at best. The fact that someone writes, another speaks, still others invest or play sports is merely the means to express the greater end." He said, "Some time ago, I attended a Bible study session with some sports professionals. The speaker that morning challenged the players to leave a legacy that they could be proud of. And he began by asking them how many knew the name of their great-grandfather. And a handful of hands went up. And then he asked how many of them knew where their great-grandfather was buried. And most of the hands stayed down. And with each more specific question, fewer hands went up. And he then made his point. Each one of us, he said, is just 3 to 4 generations away from extinction." And Ravi said, silence gripped the room. How sobering to think that just a few generations down the family tree, no one would even know that I had ever even existed. And then the speaker challenged these men about the legacy that they would leave behind. One after another, the players responded. But then one said, "Really, I don't care whether or not my great-great-grandson or great-granddaughter knows that I played ball professionally. It really doesn't matter that much. I just want them to know the God I served and loved." And the words came from the heart. And for a moment, in the silence, Ravi said, we all knew the truth of both thoughts. Our devotion to God's call and to His claim on our lives, it provides the groundwork of all that ultimately matters. Words like those of the professional ball player are all the more profound because many of our youth consider his calling a dream. But the greatest dream, writes Ravi, the greatest dream of all is to know God and to know what He has intended for your life. And you know He's right. The greatest call upon your life is the call He has given for you to follow Him in radical, world-changing discipleship. And that was Jesus' ultimate mission while here on earth, aside from the cross, of course, to make disciples who would be world changers. As someone once pointed out, He did not want to be just a Bible teacher to a group of spiritually hungry souls who would get their only ration of spiritual food once a week from His sermons. No, He wanted to train a band of strong, rugged soldiers of the cross who would then collaborate with Him in the work of the ministry in the church. And the man who said that, Leroy Imes, he also shared a personal story in his book, The Lost Art of Disciple Making. He said, "I had gone to a Christian conference, and in one of the messages, the speaker was emphasizing how vital these men were to Jesus' mission. And he told us a story that stirred our imaginations. He spoke of the return of Jesus to heaven, His ascension, and the excitement that it caused among the angels. He painted quite a picture, for he was very good with words. And he told of one of the angels who asked the returned Son of God a question. What plan do you have to continue the work you began on earth? Without hesitation, Jesus answered, I left it in the hands of the apostles. Another angel asked, well, what if they fail? Again, there was no hesitation. I have no other plan. The speaker assured us it was only a story, but it got the point across. The future of Christianity, humanly speaking, rose or fell on the ministry of these men. Now, when you think about that, the implications are profound. Jesus has entrusted the success of his great commission to you and to me. He has placed the fate of the world in our hands. It's up to the obedience of individual men and women who daily have to choose how sold out they are to Jesus Christ, just how dedicated they are to Christ's mission of discipleship. And that's a choice that you and I have to make as well. Are we going to orient our lives around Jesus Christ and his mission? Now, in our passage today, Jesus has obviously just recently risen, but the ascension, it doesn't happen right away. There's a 40-day gap between the resurrection and the ascension in which Jesus is appearing to the disciples. He's instructing them, he's training them, he's preparing them for his ministry that they're about to continue in the world. And verse 3 says that he was also speaking to them about the kingdom of God, that kingdom that they would soon be bringing people into. And it says in verses 4 to 5, "And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" So we see here that Jesus doesn't want the disciples to leave Jerusalem until they have received the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he knows that in order for any ministry to be effective, we must have the Holy Spirit go with us and before us. Because it's not ultimately our work. Rather, we join in the work the Holy Spirit is already doing. And so Jesus is preparing the disciples for the more immediate event of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit would come down upon them, cleanse them, and empower their lives into ministry. Now, just imagine the excitement the disciples had during this time. I mean, their Lord had risen, he was walking and talking with them once again. The hope in him as their Messiah, that hope that they thought they had lost at his death, it was restored. And they're beginning to get excited about knowing what comes next. And we see that Jesus, he's led them to the Mount of Olives, at the foot of which lay Bethany. I remember when I went to Israel, coming to the Mount of Olives. And one of the things I remember seeing that I did not expect was a massive number of tombs, white sepulchers all over. And in fact, there are an estimated 150,000 graves on the Mount. Tombs traditionally associated with Zechariah, Haggai, Malachi, and Absalom are among these tombs. But also, numerous rabbis and Jews are buried there even to the present age, though it's incredibly expensive. And when I asked why, our guide said it was because of a very interesting prophecy in the Old Testament. It says in Zechariah chapter 14, verses 3 through 4, and verse 9, "Then the Lord will go out and fight against those nations as when he fights on a day of battle. On that day, his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives that lies before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west by a very wide valley, so that one half of the mountain shall move northward and the other half southward." And verse 9 says, "And the Lord will be king over all the earth. On that day, the Lord will be one and his name one." Now, after telling me this, our guide said, of many of the Jews then, they missed it. And you know, they still miss it, even today, because they're not being told. But the disciples see what's happening. They see Jesus, their Messiah, leading them up the Mount of Olives. And the whole time, their knees are like buckling and shaking. They're thinking, is this the moment? I don't know, should we ask the Master? And so it says in verse 6, So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And they asked him this because they had drawn the conclusion from his resurrection and the promise of the Holy Spirit that the era of the Messiah had dawned, and Israel's final salvation and restoration was at hand. But keep in mind that they were still expecting the Messiah to kind of drive out the Romans and restore Israel to physical, military, and political glory, as God had done numerous times in and throughout the Old Testament. But look at Jesus' response. He says in verse 7, It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. And in that we see that Jesus, he's not interested in revealing to us the hour of his return. Rather, he wants us to focus on abiding in him in the present, doing the work that he has commissioned us as his ambassadors to do in the world. Look at what he says in verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Jesus corrected them by telling them that they would receive power from the Holy Spirit, not in order to triumph over Roman armies, but to spread the good news of the gospel throughout the world. The disciples wanted to know the hour of the coming of Christ's kingdom, and Jesus says, don't worry about that. It's in God's hands. Until then, you are to proclaim my name. Be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And then he gives them the Great Commission, which is recorded for us in Matthew 28, 19 through 20. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now that last phrase, I am with you always, it's an intriguing phrase. We often treat it kind of like a separate promise of his presence to be with all believers. And that may be true. But you almost get the sense that this promise is also connected with the commission that he just gave. It's almost like he's saying, I am with you always to the end of the age as you continue in the work of making disciples. And what this may be hinting at is the reality that you and I are never going to experience Christ more fully or more closely in our own lives than when we are bringing somebody to Jesus or into a closer walk with him. You want to experience Jesus? Go where he's at work. Join with him in his mission. And when you do, you'll find that you will have connected yourself with one of the central purposes of your life. And that will allow God to bless you in ways he otherwise would never be able to. And so I want to encourage you today, let us commit to live lives where we are intentionally reaching out to make disciples. Let's do so. Amen.
Today's episode of Lehem Panim has been made possible by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel, or would like to request any of our messages here on Lehem Panim, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or lehempanim.org. You can also find us on both Facebook and Twitter. We look forward to hearing from you, and thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.